Thank you, Uncle. I appreciate those wonderful words and words for us all to remember and to live by. Thank you very much for that. It's really interesting that everything that they have talked about are really the same kinds of things that are relevant, important, and all the same beliefs that we have as Indigenous people, and I think as human beings across this planet, that we indeed are all connected. That some of the issues that we all have are the same issues that we see everywhere worldwide. And I guess that's really what I want to share with you in the few minutes that I have. Again, as in my role as an elder in training. So I appreciate the opportunity to speak on behalf of my elder, Elaine. Most of you know that I have I've been with the caucus for many, many years. I am the director of the Alaska Native Science Commission in Anchorage, Alaska. And for the last 3 years, I've had the great and wonderful opportunity to serve as the chair of an organization called the Inuit Circumpolar Council. It's an organization that represents all of the Inuit nations in Alaska, Canada, Russia, and Greenland. So I've had an opportunity to not only work within my own community, but really to work with all of the circumpolar countries. It's been a great experience. And I wanted to just share with you some of what I've heard, not only from people in the Arctic, but really from my explorations across the rest of the world. And I want to show this, especially looking at issues that are really important in our communities and Indigenous communities around the water, and especially around the impacts of water and what that does to us in climate change. Because that is one of the issues that I see as one of the most critical things that our Indigenous people are facing worldwide, regardless of where we live. So water is really a key element, the connection of our spirits, the connections that we have across the worldwide system. Humanity is important. So I was surprised that when Auntie said we are all connected, that's really what I'm talking about as well. We are all connected. In my travels and my opportunities with ICC, the Inuit Circumpolar Council, I've also had the great fortune of being one of the members, the permanent participants to the Arctic Council. The Arctic Council is made up of all of the 8 Arctic nations. And it is a council that looks at policy, that looks at development of strategies for all of the issues across the Arctic, but a great opportunity to serve as one of the members of the 8 nation Arctic Council. We also have a seat at the United Nations Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues, where I've not only been able to look at what's going on in the Arctic, but really to see from a huge perspective of the United Nations. For those of you who were here last night and saw some of the gifts that I brought to this social, I tried to bring in things that I've gotten from Peru, from Nepal, I've been all over the world. It's been an amazing time in my life, one of the most incredible experiences. I've been invited to be one of the guest speakers with the Secretary General of the United Nations, with Ban Ki-moon at the United Nations, where I found myself seated one day between Al Gore on one side and Arnold Schwarzenegger on the other. And I said, what is this kid from Nome, Alaska doing sitting here at this table just being a part of the conversations with people like that in such a critical issue, because people everywhere are concerned about what is happening on this planet, and especially all the things around climate change. So that's what I want to talk to you a little bit about today. Let me just share with you some of my experiences. Now, this may look like a funny thing to most people. It's one of our hunters in Alaska who has fallen through. You can see the ice conditions. The problems that we are experiencing in Alaska are really unfortunate, because the truth of the matter is we are literally losing people almost every day in Alaska. George, who's a friend of mine from Alaska, there's hardly anybody who doesn't know someone who has died because of climate-related accident. That our hunters, our people, go out on the ice where they normally have been able to very, very successfully and been able to travel on the ice. Well, those ice conditions, the water conditions are changing so rapidly that we are literally losing people every day. They go out hunting, they go out fishing, they take their snow machines out, they fall through the ice or the river in the ocean and are simply never seen again. So for us, this is really quite a common occurrence now. I have lost several of my own friends who've been out in these areas and again, just never came home again. So for us, climate change is really more than just a theoretical discussion. It is indeed a harsh reality that we live with every single day. And the reason that I bring this message to people around the world is because what is happening in the Arctic is what will be happening to the rest of the world very shortly. And that is the critical message that we are trying to get out. The Arctic is the barometer of the Earth's, the health of this Earth. And the Arctic is the first place that you're seeing so many of the things that are going on across the planet around climate change. So again, this is one of the things. One of the great things in our people now are starting to go back to some of their traditional practices of using sled dogs. Because you know those sled dogs are really smart. They won't let you go out on ice that's not safe. And so that snow machine won't tell you that, but our dogs will. So we were going back to looking at some of those other issues. Here again, you can see where our ice conditions have really changed. Where these used to be big icebergs, you know, there were huge chunks of ice that were everywhere. Now you can see hunters that are stranded. Up in Barrow last year, they had 200 hunters that got stranded out on an ice sheet that just floated away while they were all out there with their snow machines. These are experienced people, hunters, whalers, who know the conditions really well. The ice separated so quickly that they floated off, and the only way they could get them back was by helicopter. And to send helicopters out and bring back all of those people from the stranded ice. So you can see the kinds of things that we're really having to live with now. If you're trying to catch a whale, let me also say this. You know how big a whale is? It's a huge thing. You know how small our skin boats are that we go out whaling in? It's a pretty amazing and impressive thing. Well, it used to be that we only had to travel 2 or 3 miles to catch the whale because that's the way they travel. Now, you're talking about 20, 30, and 40 miles that people have to go out in the skin boat against a whale, haul that whale all the way back in 30 miles into the village. I'll tell you, it's made things a lot more difficult than it used to be. This is another thing that we're seeing in Alaska, huge areas of permafrost melt, what they call thermokarst. This is one of the areas, and you can see that the land has just simply fallen. It's fallen through. Almost all of the state, especially in the north, is built on permafrost. We were a body of ice. You know, that's what it used to be. Unfortunately, all that permafrost is now melting because we have anywhere between 4 to 6 degrees of temperature change already in the Arctic, already, where people are saying only 1 or 2 degrees in the rest of the world will make a huge difference. We're already seeing 4 to 6 degree temperature changes in Alaska. So the things like this permafrost melt are very common. One of the sad parts of this is that in this permafrost, there's tons of methane, because that's what makes up part of the permafrost. The methane is one of the worst, it's worse than carbon. So when you have all of this melting and the outgassing of methane that's going to come from the melting of permafrost, not only in Alaska, but all across Siberia. Siberia has some of the worst conditions, even more than us in terms of permafrost melt. This is going to again exacerbate the problems that we're already seeing with outgassing. Some of the other things that we're seeing across the Arctic are wildfires. We never used to have a lot of fires in Alaska for a number of reasons. One, especially, this is more in my area of the north, where we don't have a lot of trees. So we hardly saw fires because we didn't have a lot of source. But now we're having these huge tundra fires. And the tundra really is, as you can see, flatland. The problem with tundra fires is that they burn underground and burn forever, for a really long time. It's really hard to put these kind of fires out. The reason we're having so many of these now is because of the increase in lightning, because of warm weather changes. we hardly had thunder and lightning when I was growing up. I barely remember it happening. Now it happens all the time. We have hundreds of lightning strikes every day in the Arctic. So you can see that these conditions are really changing. It changes a lot of things, including some of the vegetation that you can see here, which does have a lot of meaning, especially for the animals who live off of the food. And in our communities, we pretty much still survive on the food that is outside our door. I tell people that is really our Safeway store. When you open your front door, that's where we go shopping. Now, we still maintain our real connection to the wildlife there, and that's our food source. There's another condition in the Arctic known as icing, where because we have really warming temperatures and then really cold temperatures, it drops very quickly, that it ices so severely that it creates this ice pack that even when our animals are there, they cannot break through the ice to get down to the food source that's there. In Siberia, they have lost more than 1 million reindeer because of these kinds of icing conditions that they're experiencing. So you can see that sort of all of these things really have a change. We're seeing a lot more cotton grass in our areas, again, because of the changes in our conditions. One of the interesting things, again, up north in my area, you can see this is Fish Drive. And most of you who would not recognize this as salmon because it sort of looks a strange color. But these are salmon that we hang to dry. Because of the rains that we're having, again, because of warming temperatures, the fish simply won't dry. And so we're getting a lot of spoilage of the fish that will not dry anymore, simply rots and falls off from the fish. So again, these are some of the indicators and issues we're having around climate change. This is a friend of mine with her granddaughter out berry picking. We also are having longer and longer seasons of warm temperatures. During this particular season, we actually had twice when our blueberries ripened, and that has never happened before. And in my experience, we pick blueberries two times during this particular season. And so you can see that there are really massive changes that are going on in the Arctic. This is, unfortunately, one of our villages in Alaska. This is a village called Shishmaref, and this is an issue known as coastal erosion, where you can see that our homes are literally falling into the sea. This particular village has been here for more than 8,000 years. And now they are facing the prospect of moving this village. More than 85% of our communities in Alaska are coastal communities. And when you look at the prospect of 85% of our villages having to move because these kinds of conditions are happening everywhere now, it's not just this one village. We have 7 more villages that are look exactly like this. Another 25 that they expect in the next 10 years will look just like this, and on and on and on. So we're looking at the prospect of millions of dollars to try to move communities. And how do you do that? How do you find the resources to do that? How are people asked to pick up and move where you've been for 8,000 years and be someplace else? There really are a lot of implications, not only physically and geographically, but really spiritually, and the society issues that come along with that. So you can see this village. Here's one of the storms that came through in that same village. And this is one of the reasons why we're seeing the kinds of conditions we are. In older years, the waters would not be able to reach the village because we had ice that formed in front of the villages, and these kinds of waves couldn't reach them. Now that ice just isn't there anymore. And so that's why we're seeing the tremendous problems that we are. This is another village in interior Alaska. I don't know if you can see that, but they had 3 weeks of temperatures of over 100 degrees. That reads 107 degrees. I don't know how much you know about Alaska, but that is not the norm. That's not what we usually see. So 107 degrees in Huslia, and you can see one of the consequences that they have faced. One of the things that we have seen in places where we have a lot of trees, like here in the interior, is, again, because of warming temperatures, we have an infestation of spruce bark beetle, which has killed off all of the trees and left them as real fodder for forest fire. During two years ago, we had one of the worst forest fire seasons we've ever seen in Alaska. We had more acreage burned in one summer than the entire states of Delaware and Connecticut and Rhode Island put together. So if you can think of those two states simply burning up, that's what we saw in our area in Alaska. These are some of the things along the Yukon River, which is a river that used to be a very long, narrow river that winds all over. If you look to the right of that picture, you can see that this river has just expanded. It's huge now, that there's so much water that has come from glacier melt coming down into that, that it's just really spread the Yukon out. You can see that they're trying now to deal with, in Koyukuk, one of the villages there, with some of the their traditional ways of trying to shore up the line, water line by putting trees and other debris to try to keep the shoreline. I'll also tell you that Army Corps of Engineers has been trying for years now to fix these problems without success. Everything they've tried so far has not worked. So let me just wrap up here real quickly to show you a little bit of what's happening now.